Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 32. I am Table for Two, aka Hunter, and I'm joined today by Melified, also known as Adrian. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you? It's a lovely Saturday when we're recording here. Been a busy week, but I'm excited to get into what promises to be a double episode, I think.
Yeah, we've got enough news here. We took a week off because I had some crazy work schedules where I was out of town for a week. Then I came back, and then my wife wanted to go visit family for the weekend, and so it was just kind of like all kinds of crazy. So we've got like 3 weeks worth of news here. So we're gonna split episode 32 into a part one and a part two, and then we'll do a regular topic show, but these news episodes will get released back to back. It'll just be split up so that way it's for easier consumption.
So if I'm understanding correctly, we're doing episode 32 and then we're planning a DLC for episode 32 that will come on after
release. Yeah, it's free DLC. You know,
the best kind.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. What was once known as an expansion pack.
Well, yes. Yeah, but that'd be like Otherworlds GG the Final Frontier or something. I don't know. That's the expansion. It's like so I don't know. But yeah, no, a lot of news, a lot has been going on, and as Melified said, it is a nice Saturday up here as well. I mean, there's probably about a foot of sunshine out there, so I'm probably going to stay indoors, but as the joke kind of goes, but I am going to a barbecue later on that later afternoon, so that's going to be interesting. Because for those of you who don't know, in August the humidity level in Ohio goes through the roof, and you just don't want to be out there for more than 5 minutes. But anyway, let's get on into the news. There's a lot to go in here. We're gonna continue on our trend here. We've been splitting these up into sections, so we're gonna go into some game releases and updates, things like that. Battlefield 2042 will not feature
wishful
thinking. I would love for them to re-release 2142, but 2042 will not feature a ranked mode at launch, but it may come in the future, they say. And it doesn't have a campaign, but it's getting a short film, which I'm kind of indifferent on. I mean, we're getting bots back into the Battlefield genre, so I'm that, like, for me, that's kind of like okay. And for people who don't fully realize, is we really didn't get a campaign mode, I think, until Battlefield 3 or something like that. I don't remember the Battlefield games really being known for their campaigns, honestly.
And it wasn't until Battlefield 1 that they were even good, from what I remember.
Well, I thought Battlefield 3's campaign was good. I thought Battlefield 4's campaign was a mixed bag of okay. But I did enjoy the campaign in 3 a lot. I thought that was a lot of fun. So, but anyway, it's kind of like it's like a take it or leave it thing. Like, I don't think you can substitute not having a campaign with a short film. I think that's just kind of an odd comparison to make. It's just, I don't know. I find that kind of, it's like, well, we're getting some cutscenes. Cool. All right. Anyway.
Well, I do think it's a little strange that there's no ranked mode in the multiplayer and there's no single player. Like, usually if I'm paying full price, which this is a full price release, I would expect, if there's no single player, for the multiplayer to have all the bells and whistles. Now, what probably saves this, you know, is the Forge mode. They're not calling it that. I keep forgetting the name.
I think it's Portal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Battlefield 2042 Portal, AKA, you know, equivalent to Halo's Forge mode, where you make your own levels and they have assets from multiple, I guess, time periods.
Like Battlefield modern. Gary's mod.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I guess that maybe makes up for it, but it is a little strange to me that they wouldn't have some sort of ranking system in the game at
launch. The lack of ranking at launch is a little odd, not gonna lie. I'm actually more concerned about that than not having a campaign, if I'm being real, so.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Because the lack of a campaign doesn't mean anything to me, and I know we're going a little long on this one, but I mean, if I can play the game with just bots and multiplayer, then I'm okay with that. Like, I can still have a lot of fun, because that was kind of like the big issue with like Battlefield 3, Battlefield 4, Battlefield 1, Battlefield 5. Like, there, if you wanted to play any of like kind of the game that's outside of the campaign, you couldn't if there wasn't a map, like a server for you to join, or maybe you didn't have good, you know, like if you don't have really good internet, it's kind of hard to play multiplayer. But now they've kind of made it where it's not that big of a deal anymore. So
yeah,
that's why the campaign, not having a camp, the fact that they've added bots to me makes up for not having a campaign.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Next.
Splitgate, which is the Halo Portal mashup of multiplayer first-person shooter. It is so popular that wait times to play are over an hour. The developers said that they can't just buy more servers, that it's more complicated than that. And they've also said the game's going to stay in beta indefinitely while they, you know, shore up their code and add features to the game. So obviously incredibly popular, but that seems like it's creating some frustration. I don't think I would want to wait over an hour to play, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It was kind of the same thing with the New World kind of MMO. I wasn't willing to wait long enough to find out. Thankfully, though, they added in some more servers during the beta process, and I was like, okay, this is I can go check this out. But again, wasn't willing to wait. Speaking of waiting, Beyond Good and Evil 2 seemingly no longer coming to previous gen consoles, which I'm not surprised by. To me, this is kind of a nothing story, but the story here is the fact that Beyond Good and Evil 2 is still being made, because I haven't heard. I haven't heard anything other than this is like Cyberpunk 2077. Come out with an awesome trailer and then don't say a word about it for years.
Yep.
Now, granted, the Cyberpunk thing happened, like the wait period between that was much longer than what we're waiting right now, but there still really isn't anything new or interesting about Beyond Good and Evil 2 at all. We already kind of know everything. It's a prequel story to the first one. It's supposed to be big and epic and grand, and that's really about it. And now it's not going to be on previous gen consoles, which at this development cycle does not surprise me. So anyway.
Well, it certainly suggests the game may take even longer to ship, though, because now, you know, if they're dropping support for those old consoles, presumably that allows them to do more with the newer consoles. So
you would think.
And I don't know that I would want to ship a new console only game right now, considering how hard they are to get.
That's fair. That's a good observation. Yeah.
So maybe that's even more reason to delay it into the future. Take Two has 3 unannounced remasters or remakes in development. This news came out of their financial call recently, and we don't know what it could be, but obviously Bully is one that a lot of people would love to see remade. A remaster of the original Red Dead Redemption,
that a lot of people would that love. Right there, yes, 100%.
And so
a PC release, don't know what else. Red Dead would be nice too.
Yes, yes. Well, and generally what we've seen is when they remake these, they do it and put it the games on all the consoles.
Well, it's one of the very few games that never got a PC release, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at Red Dead 2's on PC, Bully is on PC. Hell, I've owned a copy of Bully for years and still haven't played it. So like you know,
yep.
And I've played through a good chunk of Red Dead 1 on my Xbox, but man, if I had a PC version of it, I'd play it in a heartbeat. Anyway.
Yeah, the other one that people are speculating is that it's been several years since we had the BioShock remasters, and that perhaps they would re-remaster BioShock.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but it is an interesting to speculate, so we'll see what comes out. Ni no Kuni Cross Worlds is coming to PC, according to the Taiwanese rating board having published a rating for it. So there are two Ni no Kuni games that were standalone RPGs. Ni no Kuni Cross Worlds is an MMO. So it's not terribly surprising that it would come to PC, I guess, but that was not previously announced. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, nice. No Man's Sky next update teased in a 5-year anniversary trailer. Congratulations, No Man's Sky, for reaching 5 years and continuing to put out tons of content for free for your game. That's kind of a testament to just, wow, just keep it up, guys. You're doing good. That's all I've really got to say about that. It's kind of impressive, really.
That was exactly my take, is like, more power to them for having stuck with this game for so long and continuing to add content. I got to imagine we're getting close to the end, though. I mean, I don't know how much more they could do with it.
I mean, yeah, we're at 5 years. I think they've already, this is my personal take right here. I think they've done enough to make up for it personally. Like the launch was so bad. I think they probably made up for it a couple of years ago in reality.
Yeah.
But yeah, like at this point they've done a fantastic job. So bravo.
I don't know anyone who could reasonably say they didn't get $60 worth out of that game if they bought it on day one and played it now. Right.
Correct. Like
come on. That game has so much in it.
Yeah. They above and beyond. Good job, guys. The latest Everspace 2 update has 150 plus changes, including new missions inspired by PC classic Descent. I do like me some Everspace 2. It's a far cry better than Everspace 1, I feel like. I've enjoyed my time with Everspace 2 so far. Haven't gotten as deep into it as I'd like, but what I've played, I've really enjoyed.
I haven't touched either of the Everspace games, despite being a fan of the genre, so this is one that kind of caught my eye.
The first one, just play the second one. You'll be
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Well, yeah. This update sounds like, you know, I loved Descent back in the day, so definitely
absolutely
up for that.
Absolutely, yes.
So the long-awaited pixel art RPG Eastward finally has a release date, September 16th on PC, Mac, and Switch. This is the headline from TechSpot. I actually have never heard of this game, so it wasn't long awaited for me, but I thought it was interesting. Folks had first heard about this in 2015 when the indie developer showed a trailer, so it has been a little while since it was first announced.
Nice.
Good for them for shipping it and not rushing it out the door, I guess.
There you go. Control multiplayer spinoff and sequel in the works. I'm curious about this. I enjoyed Control, and for what it's worth, I felt like it was a very strong narrative single player experience that was, I haven't done any of the DLC for it yet, and I really want to kind of get back in there and do that, but I'm having a hard time seeing some kind of, like, I don't know how they would do a multiplayer spinoff that, works with what they did with that. It'd have to be kind of a slightly different game, I feel like, in order for that to work, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I the powers are so powerful. You know, you can launch groups of people up in the air and throw them around and stuff like that. I don't know how you balance that in a multiplayer scenario unless it's more of a MOBA style where there are, you know, AI-controlled minions that you can use those big powers on, and then you have to maybe fight a little bit differently against players. But
I could definitely see a co-op experience possibly. That'd make a little bit more sense, but yeah.
The DLC is good, by the way. I've played through the whole game and then both DLCs, and I quite enjoyed it. So,
well, that's good. I enjoyed the base game a lot. I mean, the game definitely scratched that itch of single player narrative driven storytelling that I love on games when they put in the effort into it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I think, you know, growing up, we've all played a lot of games that had single player and story. I mean, you play a Star Wars game, you play this, you play that. I think of like Half-Life 2, for example, just being this big, epic, story-driven thing, and then I go and I play something like Control, and I feel that again. I feel that kind of narratively driven, big, and epicness to it. I really like it a lot.
Well, and speaking, they do great. Both of those do great world building too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's such a huge thing when telling a story is if you can do some massive world building, it's a lot of fun. Speaking of world building, Cyberpunk 2077 is getting some patches, and they're definitely building upon fixing that game. I recently went back and started playing it again. I started a new save, and there is some still slight jankiness to it. Like, the driving, for example, to me just does not feel good at all. It very much feels like Watch Dogs 1 driving, which I thought was abysmal. But the actual glitches and all that other stuff is far less of an issue than it was. I mean, I was having smoother gameplay experiences, a smoother, enjoyable time. I wasn't getting taken out of the world every like few minutes by some weird T-model floating around or some character not being there to trigger an event. Like, all that stuff seems to have been definitely smoothed out a lot more. So I would say that they're doing pretty good, and I'm going to keep playing Cyberpunk right next to Skyrim because I'm still playing that.
I haven't touched it yet. I'm still waiting for the definitive release, which was originally rumored for or announced for summer. At this point, I assume, you know, it's going to be next year sometime. But they did release the first free DLC for Cyberpunk, which was a little bit less than some folks were hoping. They had sort of told us that it wasn't going to be a big release, but it's just basically a couple of cosmetics, apparently. So some folks were a little disappointed by that.
Nice.
So Dota 2 is still getting updates. It got a major patch, 7.3 recently. I don't play Dota, so I don't really understand, you know, the significance here of the changes, but you know, if you've been craving a MOBA, you could go and play Dota 2 for free. So that's nice.
You know, there's certain genres of games where I'm straight up just like not interested. Dota is not necessarily that, but it's just not for me. Like, I'm just not good at it. But I have a lot of respect for the MOBA genre, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I get it. Like, I get the appeal, the competitiveness. You really have to understand the meta and understand the characters and how to use them to be good. And right. I'm not willing to put in that kind of time into one game.
Really. 100%. I agree. Yes.
Chivalry 2 passes 1 million copies sold. I played through a couple hours of Chivalry 2 and, enjoyed it. I mean, it reminds me of Ubisoft did For Honor, which was trying to provide more realistic sort of one-on-one sword fighting combat, and it reminds me a little bit of that in terms of the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But it has again sort of the MOBA like generic enemies running around the battlefield that you can fight, or you can fight the other players. But I don't know. It's not doing anything revolutionary. So maybe it's just kind of putting all the pieces together for folks, but it didn't blow me away. So I was a little surprised by this.
Yeah. What else we got?
Let's see. Ace Combat 7 is getting more DLC, a Japan Air Self-Defense Force DLC is being released, and then we got news that there is a new Ace Combat game in development. So if you want your Japanese story with a somewhat realistic, somewhat arcadey flight simulator or flight combat, they've got you covered.
Yeah, it's interesting, and the Ace Combat series is not one that I've actually had a lot of experience with, so
it is the most ridiculous story. Like, it's just so Japanese. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's just over the top, wacky, and like super, super dramatic. And, you know, if you enjoy that, that kind of kitschy sort of overly done drama, it's a lot of fun. But the actual gameplay is very much, you know, flight simulator combat. You get way, you know, way too many missiles and things like that as is typical, but, it looks really good. It's fun to play. They actually, Ace Combat 7 even has a small battle royale mode where, you can, I think it's 16 players and you're in a sphere in the air combat, you know, there's a sphere around you that's kind of closing in slowly. So you have to, take out the other players, which sounded cool. I never actually got to try it, so kind of interesting.
Well, Guild Wars 2 is getting an expansion, and the beta begins soon, and that expansion is called End of Dragons. And, I mean, bravo for Guild Wars keeping on, you know? Like, they're still trucking light right along with what appears to be, you know, an influx of Final Fantasy, a potential end to WoW, and, you know, it's just all kinds of crazy stuff, and they're still out there putting out new expansions
themselves.
They're
doing their thing, so yeah.
It's good. I've enjoyed Guild Wars. I'd love to go back to it someday, but, you know, so many games, not enough time, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of old games, not enough time. Crysis 2 and 3 are getting remastered. We're getting ray tracing support only on the PC, though, and it will only be 1440p on the PlayStation 5. So a lot of people were disappointed with the graphical performance that's being promised here. The Xbox Series X is also similar performance, and they're targeting 60 frames per second. So it'll be interesting to see. It sounds like the PC might be the way to go, though. Although, the game was designed for DirectX 11, so in order to do ray tracing, you're gonna have to use an experimental DX12 mode. So, not quite sure how that'll work out, but I know a lot of people have memories of the Crysis game, so that should be cool.
Yes, for sure. I do. I've got fond memories of that.
Yeah. Mortal Shell came out not too long ago. It was an Epic Store exclusive on PC, but it was also on Xbox. And
is that like that a game, Dark Souls style game? Is that?
I haven't played it, so I actually don't remember. But that sounds right.
Well, I know it's getting a roguelike mode, I guess, coming out.
Yes.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, but they're also doing a DLC for it, as well as releasing it on Steam and GOG on PC. And the DLC is free for the first 5 days, which started, I think, yesterday. So you might have a couple days to go run and grab that. It's called the Virtuous Cycle DLC before it goes up to $7. So snag that if you can. So we were talking about this before we started recording.
Yeah.
Quake got a remaster, and like this dropped. It is doing oh my gosh, what is their big event called?
Oh, QuakeCon. Yeah, that's going on.
QuakeCon. So thank you.
Yeah, they're doing the big Quake sales, and the big Bethesda game sales are going on right now, so you can get all their stuff. And they, the Quake remaster kind of like just came out of nowhere. And it's, if you have it on, I think on other platforms too, but I know on Steam, if you already owned the original Quake, you automatically got the update. And in that update, they also have included an add-on for Quake 64. Because remember, they came out with Doom 64 for like $5. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. And I actually sold some cards from my Steam, whatever, and got up to $5 and bought that thing. And Doom 64 is its own Doom game. It's not a remake of any of the other Dooms. It's its own unique story and unique adventure. And I think it's really cool that they also included the Quake 64 in the Quake remaster on PC. So they did a really good job. I was really impressed. Also,
well, and it's only $10 if you have to buy it. So it's a huge, right, you know, value there.
And if I'm not mistaken, they also put, with all that stuff going on, they put Quake 2 and 3 on Game Pass. So there you go.
Yeah, and as well, the Quake remaster includes four different campaigns that were released, the original plus some add-ons. One of those is developed by Machine Games, who were the guys who did the more recent Wolfenstein titles. But Machine Games made a brand new fifth campaign for Quake that is only available through this remaster. So quite a bit of content for this Quake remaster, like I say, for $10 or for free if you have it on Steam. So that's hard to complain. The Quake 2, Quake 3 Arena came out on Game Pass and on PC for sale if you don't have Game Pass.
Yes. Well, moving along, I want to talk about this for a second. It would seem, Melified, that we're back. Things are getting back to normal, which means I feel like we're getting back to yearly releases of Call of Duty games. Like, I don't know what happened. It seemed like they stopped doing that with the Assassin's Creeds. It feels like they stopped doing that with the Call of Duties. But no, we're back. And Call of Duty Vanguard has been announced for the PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. And it's going to run on the Warzone engine. It'll launch with way more maps than Black Ops Cold War. I feel like Black Ops Cold War just came out last year. I really do.
It did. Oh, yeah.
Warzone is getting brand new map this year as well. And Vanguard is going to be, is supposed to be like, what is it? Like a post-World War II game about hunting down Hitler's successor? So
apparently
probably
yeah.
like a fantasy Call of Duty, maybe. I don't know. And not real. I don't know how to put that, but
yeah, it's a weird, you know, they're making up their own sort of 1950s, you know, world, I guess.
I guess Call of Duty meets a little bit of Wolfenstein. I don't know.
We'll see. I think, you know, to some extent, this feels like they're just grinding these things out. Activision has confirmed that basically the entire company, Activision, is working on Call of Duty at this point. So maybe, you know, if you throw enough monkeys with typewriters, they'll make a good Call of Duty. I don't quite know what the theory is here, but I have a lot of respect for the game developers. I just don't know that sort of shackling them to this one franchise and sort of, you know, just continually producing content for both Warzone and then the new game is smart. You know, what if it's not good? What if it doesn't sell well? What if people are sick of World War II? Gosh, that's a big risk for them to take. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Yep.
As well from QuakeCon, we got the announcement of the Skyrim Anniversary Edition. This is another remaster of Skyrim. It is coming November 11th. You can upgrade the special edition, and there will be a free next gen upgrade for the anniversary edition coming soon.
This is and the game part of that this never ends.
Well, and part of it is they're adding fishing to Skyrim. So
hey, that's actually kind of cool.
It seems like they've done all of that they could do with it. I don't know. This will be available 11/11/21. No, November 11th. So wow. I
think it's cool that if you have the special edition, you'll be able to upgrade it. So I've got the special edition. That's what I've been playing through, but soon I'll be able to go fishing, so hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the marketing says Anniversary Edition includes Skyrim Special Edition plus 500-plus Creation Club elements. So that almost makes it sound more like a mod pack than anything else, but I don't know, I guess we'll see.
Nice.
Axiom Verge 2 got released. This is a really neat, the original Axiom Verge is a Metroidvania style game, made by one guy. and it was a phenomenal success. He's really big into speed running, so there's a lot of fun elements to the game that empower speedrunners and little quirks and things that they can find to get through the game even quicker. But the second game is out now. It's available on kind of a limited set of consoles, PlayStation, Switch, and then Epic Store on PC. So presumably it'll come to more platforms eventually. I know it was on kind of everything, the original. So we'll see what happens there. But something to look forward to or look out for.
Do you know what's going on with this next article? Because reading the title, I'm a little disturbed.
I guess one of the things that's changing in the next season of Destiny 2 is they are no longer going to have primary weapon ammo drop in the game. You'll just have unlimited amounts of it. You'll still have to reload, but you won't have to go run around and find the primary ammo, at least.
See, that's weird, because it's usually, like, your third weapon, like, you know, in Division 2, for example, like, your pistol never runs out of ammo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Destiny has three weapons, but none of them are sort of the pistol equivalent. You kind of have two primaries, you know, a primary, a secondary, and a special, so... But the secondary's not necessarily a pistol. So, I don't know.
That's an interesting change.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes, I guess, whether it works or not.
Fortnite, the game that must contain all other games, apparently, has a new Among Us style mode called Imposters. And, you know, they basically stole Among Us and stuck it in Fortnite. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. Among Us, the concept of the Among Us stuff has been around for a while, because I started thinking, was it last night or the night before, I was playing with one of our community members, we were looking at the ship. I was like, this is like what Among Us was before Among Us. Like, mm-hmm. You have this, you know, this game where...
Secret Hitler was a party game for years. Yeah. You know, same idea too. It's just, you know, it's very specifically, very much... like Among Us that they've thrown into Fortnite, and this isn't the first time that Epic Games has done this either, so it's not a huge surprise, but the Among Us developers weren't involved at all for clarity. So did you remember that there's a game called Marvel Avengers?
Vaguely.
This was by Crystal Dynamics, and it was
I do remember it being like controversial because it looked nothing like the Marvel movie characters.
Right. That's what I remember. That was one of their issues. They really were pushing this as the next games as a service title, where they hoped it would be sort of a Marvel Fortnite, where you'd be buying skins for your different heroes.
Yeah.
And it didn't do well, it's fair to say. And it's apparently now gone free to play.
City of Heroes would like to have a word with you, Marvel.
Yes. Well, and they've done War for Wakanda as an expansion, along with this game being free. So I guess they've been picking up players now that it is free. People are going and trying it, but I don't know what they did for the people who paid $60 for the game.
I'm gonna be like honest with you, I've got zero interest in this. I'm really over the Marvel thing. Like, for me personally, I know people are out there, they still love and they eat this stuff up all the time, but I'm kind of done. I've got like no interest to play as Iron Man or, you know, it just, nope, I'm good.
Yeah. I hear ya. Siberia was a series of adventure games that came out, 10, 15 years ago now. The third one came out a little more recently, and they are doing another sequel, Siberia, The World Before, which revisits the game world. It is a it is kind of a throwback, where the story kind of goes through two different parallel timelines, I guess is the way to say it. And so you are bouncing around between the other two games, but
I love games like this, man. I'm into adventure games. I'm into the world, like world puzzle games and stuff like that. I love this stuff.
Yeah, and the first I played through the first and maybe part of the second one of this series, and remember quite enjoying it, although it's been a long while. But worth so. We are getting a Saints Row reboot.
Okay. Like the original?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the original they're going to remake or if it's going to reboot the series and do kind of a new version. But we're getting an announcement on August 25th at Gamescom. So it'll be interesting. It says the Saints Row Twitter account confirmed the reboot will be a whole new game, not a remaster or a remake. It's a reboot. So, okay. You know, we'll see what happens. I really have enjoyed Saints Row. It's always had co-op.
Yes.
And that is a blast. It has some fun, silly, crazy mini games in it. And just generally is a good time. So
yeah, it's kind of like GTA, but like turned into a comic book.
You know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a good description, definitely. And then last but not least for our games and updates section, Warhammer 40K Battle Sector came out somewhat recently, maybe a month ago, and they're going to be adding progression systems and more factions to the game. It's a little more focused than a lot of 40K games. This is basically just the Blood Angels fighting Tyranids. So it sounds like they're going to be expanding that a little bit, which I think is good. That could be a lot of fun.
Very nice. Yeah, I just recently reinstalled. I've got a whole bunch of hard drive space, so I've been going through installing a whole bunch of stuff. And so last night, I queued up all of the Warhammer games that I have to install, so I've got all my Warhammer stuff on my machine. Good, bad, or otherwise, I've got it now, so there you go.
Nice. And there were some stinkers, for sure.
There were. I mean, it's kind of like the old... It's like when they were pumping out Star Wars games, like, every other week back in the day. I mean, you were getting a lot of good, but there was definitely a few in there that were just like, all right, bye.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So... all right. Well, so go ahead.
I was going to move on. Go ahead. All right. We're going to move on to our Xbox and PC section.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a fair bit of news here that's specific to those platforms. So the first one up, Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. I always say that wrong. I add a T in there for some reason. It is getting ray tracing upgrade on the Xbox Series consoles, and the game, I'm trying to even think of how to describe it. It is a very interesting story-driven game with some combat elements. I found the combat a little clunky personally, but it does a really good job of immersing you in the world. And it's a game that you have to play with headphones because it does a lot with audio. The characters dealing with mental illness in the game. And so you hear things like people voices whispering to you as you play the game. And it's intense. It's a lot to experience, but it's well worth it, I think.
Huh. Yeah, it's one of the it's on my list. I definitely want to check it out. Halo good. Halo Infinite data miners find evidence of Battle Royale mode. So here's the deal. This was actually a rumor before we got an official like announcement about Halo Infinite that the next Halo was going to have Battle Royale. And I think this kind of just goes into that a little bit more. But I think the developers have kind of like tried to downplay it a little bit.
They said at one point I thought that there was not a Battle Royale mode, so it's a right. little...
Yeah.
Maybe they're being very specific about the definition, though, you know, and well, something that's similar.
Apparently the rumored Battle Royale mode is reportedly something heavily connected to the campaign somehow, so it'll be interesting. I'm kind of wondering if it'll have anything to do with some similar, like, multiplayer aspect, like... Mass Effect 3 had. I don't know if there's anything, you know, kind of like that. And so maybe that's why they're not calling it Battle Royale, because it's not, like, traditionally like it. I don't know. But, you know, and they're also saying that the download size for the game is going to be close to 100 gigs, which is not a surprise in this day and time. But a bit of funny news kind of came out of the Halo Infinite stuff was there was a reportedly... a lot of people that were complaining about the fact that the bots were teabagging them after they killed them. And according to the developers, they're actually not. But I don't know why you'd be upset at that. I think it's awesome that the bots would like do something like that. It just, to me, that just kind of be like, all right, now I've got a reason to really kill this bot, you know, just like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, to me, that's an incentive to actually go harder, you know, like I'm going to go get those guys. So anyway, even if it's not what they're doing on purpose, I still think it's hysterical, and I think people shouldn't be complaining about it. I think they should calm down, you know, but that's just,
yeah.
Look, that's my own opinion, all right? I think that's hysterical. That is
pretty funny. New World has continued to dominate the Steam weekly charts for gameplay, which was a little, I mean, this is probably going back a couple weeks now when it was still in beta, but it bodes well for Amazon's first big MMO release and arguably first big game release. And the game will be out, I think, in a month. So something to look forward to. If you
good for
like
them. That. Good for them. I was not impressed, but you know, who knows? Maybe an official release will be different. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so this one I thought was really interesting. Half-Life 2 is getting a remastered collection, but it's being developed by fans who are modding the game with consent from Valve.
Excellent. This actually reminds me of the fans that made the Black Mesa game, that they got consent from Valve to make a source remake, essentially, of the original Half-Life, but done in the style of Half-Life 2, and they fully released that on Steam, and I thought it was an excellent game. Those fans did a great job. And this is the thing that I want to really point out about this story. Valve giving consent to fans to support the game that they love. This right here is how Valve got its money. This right here is how Valve made it big. This is the reason why Steam has not been taken over by anybody else, despite how hard Epic is trying, how hard GOG is trying. Like, I read an article on Reddit the other day that these guys were talking about how they would love to support Reddit more, or not Reddit, but GOG more, because they love the GOG platform and the games that you can get there and stuff like that. But it's hard to beat the fact that so many awesome games keep going on sale on Steam and doing, you know, so well over there. I'm not saying that Steam probably shouldn't reevaluate some of its pricing models. Like, maybe it should. But the point I'm making is like, Valve got to where it is because it did things like this. It made really good practices with the fans. I mean, that's how we got Team Fortress 2. This is how we got Dota 2. This is how we got all of these games that have come out. I mean, the reason why we have Left 4 Dead is because, you know, it's these modders and stuff like, this is how important this is. And I love the fact that Valve is still on board with this stuff and letting it happen.
Well, and it's such a contrast to, you know, takedown notices from Disney, from Games Workshop for Warhammer stuff. You know, we've heard about this from a lot of other companies where they go after their fans legally rather than, you know, finding a way to work with them. And I love that Valve is doing that.
Yes, 100%.
So the infamous, I think it's fair to say, cookie clicker is coming to Steam next month with numerous enhancements. Are you familiar with the cookie clicker franchise?
No, actually.
The cookie clicker cinematic universe? No, cookie clicker was one of these terrible, terrible, like, shovelware mobile games where you literally just tapped on the screen to eat a cookie. And then another cookie appeared and you tapped on that. Like, I it's not even a game. But they've sort of embraced the absurdity of it. And now they're adding a bunch of features, and there's mini games, and there's some concept of permanent upgrades that you can earn by playing the game on Steam. I don't even know what this is about, but it's coming, so we can look forward to that.
Absolutely. There you go. Company Heroes 3 story will change based on your actions. I love this. I wish there were some more games out there that were like that, but I love the fact that this is actually a thing.
Yeah, dynamic campaigns is something, you know, that has been tried a few times. Like, StarCraft did it a little bit in the Brood War expansion, but it never has. I think it's because it's hard. It's really hard to do a good job with. And so it's great to see Company Heroes, you know, taking on that challenge.
Well, it's kind of like some of those like RPGs or action RPGs. Like, if you go through a certain route, maybe a boss fight might be a little bit easier or harder depending on what route you took and stuff like that. So I think that's, you know, those kinds of things have always been fun to me. So it's kind of cool to see like an RTS or strategy style game doing something where the story will slightly change. I guess the story here, they don't necessarily say the gameplay, but it'll be interesting to see what actually comes with that. Speaking of things that are interesting to see, Star Citizen wraps up its first star system with the game's own Cloud City. Now, I've seen this. I have a couple of buddies who actually play Star Citizen, and I was not playing with them this time, but they were screen sharing on Discord their session, and my buddy was showing me, he's like, hey, there's a new gas giant, and gas giant in the system, and you can actually land on it. I was like, well, how do you land on a gas giant? He's like, because it's like Cloud City. I was like, you're kidding me. And he flew down and showed me, and there, sure enough, there's a city in the clouds. It's, of course, obviously not shaped like Cloud City, but essentially it is a floating city in the gas giant that you can go and land on. And good for you, Star Citizen. You're still adding stuff to a game rather than finishing your game. Bravo.
So. Well, We thought this was going to happen, and it has. The first game has been announced specifically targeting the Steam Deck, Valve's new handheld console that'll be coming out late this year. So I guess that's some measure of success. And it is a mobile Switch and Steam Deck cross-platform release. So.
Well, speaking of the Stream Deck, you do have it here, I think, don't you? In this,
I think yes, you do. On. Yeah,
but we let's talk about it now real quick because it's tied directly to it. But Phil Spencer has been testing the Stream Deck and says Xbox games work well. As a matter of fact, I think he said the xCloud works great on it, which is the streaming stuff. So. I love the fact that Xbox is like shaking hands with Steam and Valve, and they're working on things to get all of their stuff to be friendly with one another. I know that they're kind of competitive platforms, but at least they're being friendly about how a lot of this stuff works. And it's amazing. So Because I don't think Xbox wants to get truly into the mobile market as a thing. I think what they want to do is they want to put their ecosystem on existing mobile markets, if that makes any sense. So, in other words, putting the Xbox app on a phone, putting the Xbox app on a tablet, putting the Xbox app on a Steam Deck, you know, I think that's where they want to go. Let other people do the hardware side of things. Let us put our apps and applications and ecosystem on your hardware. And Phil Spencer, time and again, just keeps proving to me he's a good guy, gamer friend. And I love it. I know he's a part of a big, you know, quote unquote evil corporation. I don't care. He's making good moves. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's so consumer friendly, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and one related story here is Xbox says they've ruled out Game Pass on other consoles in the near future. Basically, this was people hoping that we would see a partnership with Nintendo where you'd have Game Pass actually on or xCloud on the Switch as an application. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen, at least right now, which, you know, is understandable. I think other game makers would be reasonably afraid of.
And I called this, and I called this because I think even our own Alien Pickle was talking about how this would, like, you know, it'd be stupid for Nintendo to not get on this deal. And I was like, it'd be stupid for Nintendo to take this deal because, you know, at what point, because it would maybe increase sales of their own hardware, but it would ultimately almost stop sales of their own software. Because if you with Valve, they're making the Steam Deck to be almost an open platform because they're working with AMD to figure out how to make sure that Windows 11 runs smoothly on the Steam Deck. They're you know, it's going to come with the Linux version of the Steam OS, but they want to ensure that as a platform, it's open enough to be able to do the Windows side of things. So they're not trying to, as they put it in that article, a closed ecosystem like Nintendo or PlayStation. I do not see anywhere in the future where Nintendo or Sony would do anything like this without some kind of reverse exclusive deal. Like, you'd have to get Sony stuff out on these other platforms or Nintendo stuff out on these other platforms, I feel like, for it to make sense, because they would not make, I don't think they would make any money or any reasonable amount of money off of this deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they would lose money, like you were saying, or at least their third-party developers would. You know, at that point, why do the hard work of making a game for the Switch when you can just write it for Xbox and, you know, get the Switch players through xCloud?
Correct.
And Nintendo would make nothing from that. So it makes a lot of sense that other game makers don't want to do this. The interesting thing is, while the Switch does not have a web browser, the PS5 does. So there's at least a world where you could launch the web app, you know, for the PS5, which is kind of crazy.
Waiting to hear about that workaround and then see it happen. Because you'd almost think that they'd have to put something in their software to block that. You would think that they would, but knowing gamers and their determination, I'm sure someone's going to make it work.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of time. That's for sure. Forza 5, we got to see the full map, and it is much bigger than Forza 4. This is pretty exciting. I think Forza 4 was a great game, but it definitely was.
Well, its map is huge.
Yeah.
It was, but... Yeah.
Now Forza 5 will be 50% larger than Forza 4.
That's so ridiculous. Awesome.
Well, I think it allows them to do more environments, right? Like, you can have, you know, just the full variety. Plus, we're going to get the seasons. So the terrain is going to change across that whole map depending on which season you're talking about, which is also kind of cool. So, you know, well, I'm super excited. I've been really impressed with everything the Forza games have done. So I'm looking forward to the...
Sure. I'm actually kind of curious because, like, you know, the Forza stuff goes into a lot of varieties, right? They do the supercars, they do the normal style almost cars, they do the off-road racing, they do the Jeeps and the trucks and, you know, the rally cars. I'd be kind of curious to see if they do anything with like ATVs. I think Forza would look beautiful if they ever decided to do like boat racing and stuff like that. I think that could be a really fun like spin-off series for the Forza like thing to go into, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Actually, this next story I think should have probably been in the previous section. That's my mistake, but Nerf Legends is coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, and PC. So all the things, you will have a Nerf game where you can customize your character and your Nerf gun and play single player campaign and an online mode with up to 8 players. So excellent. Didn't know we needed this game, but I'm excited that they're doing it.
You know what game we do need is this next one, because the first one was awesome. So 11-Bit Studios announces Frostpunk 2, and I'm excited. Frostpunk 1 was such a unique experience. Did you play it?
No, I never got into it. I wanted to play it, and I think I did the tutorial and then never went back to it. So please share.
Yeah, so it's challenging in just the right way. It frustrates you just enough to try again. And because it's a survival game, so it's a strategy survival. You're in a world in which things are bleak and hard and challenging, and so you have to make decisions based on survival, you know, on you know, the greater good, the needs of the many kind of thing. And so sometimes you have to make challenging and unfortunately terrible decisions in order to save the whole. And I finally beat a round of it. It took me several tries to actually get to a point where I was able to get to a point where my society was going to survive as a whole, you know, moving forward. So this next one is going to continue to kind of take it into another direction where they've moved the technology. Steam as a source of power has been replaced by oil, and so it's going to be done in a sense of like trying to survive, because you know the world's kind of like in a big blizzard essentially. It's, you know, it's almost like an ice age, more or less, in a weird way. And so I'm really excited for Frostpunk 2. I loved the first one. I'd actually love to go back and do it again as like a stream or something like that, and just kind of showcase it, because it's such a unique game and I loved it. So anyway, that's my 5-second review.
No, yeah, that's great. I'm excited. I need to play the first one. So Rare is celebrating 4.8 million active Sea of Thieves players in June. This is a huge milestone. I remember when this game came out, people complained, you know, about it, a lot of people, but they've just kept, you know, improving it and adding more to do and more interesting things, and it is such a fun game.
I do. And we need to revisit it soon. We need to get a crew together again and go out and just see what we can do, because there were times where it was like you, me, and a couple others, and we'd go out for hours just having a ball doing whatever. So
absolutely, yeah. It is such a, it's just the right amount of like tension and silliness and frustration and fun. So really excited for that one. Oddworld Soulstorm is coming to Xbox One and Xbox Series XS. This was originally a PC and PlayStation exclusive, but apparently that timer has expired and it will be joining the Xbox ecosystem.
Excellent.
I haven't played it, but I've played the other Oddworld games, and they are always a lot of fun and quirky and interesting. So
absolutely,
looking forward to that.
Same here.
Resident Evil Village, I think it's fair to say, has been a little fraught with issues on PC. It came out that the pirates actually had a better experience playing the game because the DRM was causing performance hitches on PC. Which got fixed or mostly fixed, but they are promising another PC performance update to improve the game further on the PC. So, you know, Hunter, people have varied opinions about whether, you know, you should play on PC, you should play on console. Both you and I play on both, depending on circumstances.
Yeah.
This is one of those situations, though, that encapsulates why I prefer console over PC a lot of times. And it's because the PC is hard to get right. And a lot of game developers... Yeah, well, they just don't seem to be willing to put the effort in, or it takes them a really long time to kind of get the PC version to where it probably should have been at launch, where certainly there are ample exceptions, but on console, it tends to be the game comes out and is, you know, very playable versus the PC version sometimes, so...
I think part of the problem that they deal with the PC versions of things for sure has a lot to do with DRM type technologies that they're trying to protect their games with, which I understand that. And, you know, you get into a vast array of like, what can you support? I do think things with like Windows and with like Nvidia and stuff like that, they're really trying to work on making things a little bit easier for folks. I know that they're trying to open source DirectX. I think they're trying to, if I remember correctly, don't quote me on that, but, you know, I know that in a lot of ways they're trying to make the PC, I know specifically with Microsoft and like the Xbox Windows, like platform thing, you know, they're trying to make it a little bit easier for developers to make games and stuff like that for the ecosystem, specifically on the PC. But yeah, it can definitely be a challenge, especially when you have some people that are trying to play things on a potato, and or maybe they're not as up to snuff on how to keep their PC up to date. So I mean, you know, and I'm not saying it's you, but I definitely understand the console reason, and that's why I keep a console. I have my Xbox One X right next to my PC, so that way I can hop on, and there's certain games that I keep installed on there that I don't play on the PC, which I could, like Forza Horizon 4, for example. I keep that on my console. Because I've actually had issues with it on my PC in the past, trying to get it installed properly for some reason or another, and it just works on the console. So I'll just like, screw it, I'll just leave this one on the console and play it here. And there's a couple other games that are like that too, and that's also the only way I can play the original Red Dead is on my console, but I have it hooked up to my computer monitor. So I mean, at least I'm playing at my PC, but it's on my console. And I think that's, I I've said this before, and we're gonna wrap up this episode here because we've got a lot more news to cover in part two. So to kind of close that out, though, that's why I think the Xbox is a perfect pairing as a console to the PC, because it's, you've already got similar ecosystems going on between the two, right? So with the Game Pass Ultimate and a PC and an Xbox, you're gonna be playing 95% of like what's out there. And I know that that's a high percentage, but when you take into consideration, you know, the exclusives from Nintendo, there's only a few of those, right? You know, your Nintendos and your Zeldas, and then your exclusives from your Sony that's out right now are also pretty small comparatively. I'm talking about like current exclusive, not retro.
Right.
Because the PlayStation library is huge, and yeah. Well, that's true. Oh, yeah. That's true. And I was gonna say, like, because that market is huge. I mean, these libraries are huge in the past, but you don't even get those libraries on the current systems, even, right? Like, you're not getting everything from the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, or PlayStation on the PS4, PS5. You're not getting everything from the original Nintendo, Super Nintendo, GameCube, 64 on the Switch. So with the PC, though, You can, with the power of GOG and dedicated modders and hackers, you can play pretty much anything from the original DOS all the way to modern on a PC, which is why I'm saying like 95% of gaming you can get done. If you have an Xbox and a PC, you'll play it all. And I know that we're pretty big fanboys of but with Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate and everything that Microsoft is doing right now, they've just kind of made it a no-brainer to me. So Anyway, yeah, we're going to continue with the news in the next episode. We're going to cover stuff from retro, VR, Switch, PlayStation, cloud, tech news, business, and some things that we found funny. So be sure to check out the next episode. You guys can find us over on discord.otherworlds.gg for all this and more. We are working on getting a website out there proper that has links to our servers, because we have some game servers like Battlefield 4, Unreal Tournament 2004. We currently have a Conan Exiles and a Minecraft server out there, so feel free to come on over to our Discord to get information on that, but soon we'll be able to put that info on our website. We're also running a giveaway, 100 for 100. Tell all your friends, come on over and check that out. And we typically do have a third person with us from time to time, but they're resting. So check us out in the next episode. This has been 32.1.
Yeehaw.